Let's pray. Father, thank you for this awesome Sunday. Thank you for everybody who is here. Thank you for gathering us. You're prepared to speak to us, to teach us, to instruct us, to equip us. Our hearts are open, our minds are ready, our hands are ready, and everything is ready. We give you glory, Lord, in this room, in this place. May you take all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, conflict management in relationships. It shall be a two-part series. Conflict management in relationships. So, we're going to start by understanding interpersonal conflict. Gentlemen, in their book by Joyce Hawker and William Wilmot, define interpersonal conflict, interpersonal, as expressed struggle between at least two people, two interdependent parties, who perceive incompatible goals, scarce rewards, and interference from the other party. Interpersonal conflict is an expressed struggle between at least two interdependent parties who perceive incompatible goals, scarce rewards, and interference from the other party. And I'm going to break down those elements that make up that discussions to help us understand interpersonal conflict better. How many of you have ever had a conflict with someone? How many of you are actively having a conflict? Nobody? I'm the only one with... The rest of you are conflict-free? Okay. So first of all, expressed struggle. We're going to break down into four component elements that define what interpersonal conflict is. Expressed struggle. Conflict requires some form of expression. It can be verbal, it can be non-verbal, or both. Okay, conflict requires some kind of expression. Now, the expression can be verbal, it could be nonverbal, or it could be both verbal and nonverbal. Now, without expression, you only have emotion. Okay, you know, you can be angry with someone. You know, you have emotion like anger. Resentment, frustration. You can be angry at someone and not express anyway. Both non-verbally. You know, you can be angry with someone and show it without saying it. Do you know that? You know, something along those lines. But you can also express through your words that you're angry. So when it comes to conflict, sometimes there is a verbal and nonverbal aspect. Sometimes the nonverbal aspect, when there is a conflict, may mean when I see you coming this side, that's a nonverbal communication that we don't talk. Okay? Some of you, maybe you had neighbors and your parents told you, don't talk to those people, those people don't talk to us. You know, there's some kind of conflict between neighbors, especially. And it's usually nonverbal, but the actions are very loud. Then the other element is interdependent parties. Interdependence means what I do affects you, and what you do affects me. If there is no interdependence, there will be no conflict. But because there is interdependence, it means conflict is in view. Now, that is, the interdependence presents both bad and good news. It's good news because if we have a conflict and we are interdependent, then there can be room for us to manage that conflict. But if there's no interdependence, it means there's nothing we can do about that conflict. You know, that's sort of, somebody's in their world, you're in your world. And not this, stay in your world, I stay in my world. You can't say that in a church. Because we are in the same world. Okay, you cannot be serving in the same ministry and say, you do your, imagine the keyboardist has conflict with the drummer. Or the keyboardist has conflict with the worship leader. They are interdependent. What he does affects the worship leader, and what the worship leader does affects the keyboardist. So the interdependence presents an opportunity for there to be some kind of management of that conflict. If, however, there is no interdependence, like if the keyboardist has a conflict with the person of the kiosk on the opposite side of the other road where we come from, I mean, everybody can live their lives happily ever after, right? There's no interdependence. So if anybody ever wronged anyone, the chances of managing or resolving that conflict become almost negligible. Then, incompatible goals. These are the different elements which we used in the definition of conflicts. Now, when it comes here, incompatible. Okay? The key here is perceive. Now, goals don't have to be incompatible. The key issue is perception. How do we perceive? Our goals can be incompatible in two different ways. One, we could both want in different ends. Okay? Let's say we have some money we have collected in our cell group, and we want to decide on what to spend the money on. Somebody can say, let's use the money to buy Bibles. Another person is saying, let's use the money to go and feed street children. Okay? Now, so these different goals can create or could create a conflict. Sometimes the second way how our goals can be incompatible is we could both want the same thing, but we know very well that we both can't have it. An example, if both of us are aspiring for the same position, okay, we could both want the same thing, but we know there is no way we are both going to get that position, and that can present an area of conflict. Maybe we both want to be the leader of a cell group. It can be an area for conflict. Then the third one is when the fourth one is when there are scarce rewards. When we believe there isn't enough of something positive to go around, we set ourselves up for conflict. Okay? When we believe there isn't enough to go around, we set ourselves up for conflict. Like if we are all, if you're competing for a limited resource, chances for conflict are quite high. Then the last one is interference from the other party. Interference from the other party. Here, when we believe someone is preventing us from achieving our goals, conflict emerges. Like who, for example, is trying to stop you from achieving your goals? When you think someone is trying to interfere with me and achieving my goals, then chances for conflict are high. But here are five mistaken ideas about conflict. What is a simple way we can say conflict in Uganda? Huh? Is there not agreement? Disagreement? Huh? Obutakanya? Close? Huh? Entalo. Yeah. So all those different words can help express what conflict can mean. So I ask that so that I want to know, I want all of us to be on the same page. If we think, well, conflict is not for me, but everybody, as long as you have relationships in your life, as long as you have expectations in your life, in relationships, then you are a prime candidate for conflict. Right? I am a prime candidate for conflict. Do you see in this church, the people you love so much, there are chances you are going to conflict with them one way or another. And I'll show you the different kinds of conflict. Okay? And that way you will see that it is completely inevitable to not have conflict. So these are the ideas which are common mistaken ideas about conflict. The first one is what I've been talking about. Conflict can always be avoided. Conflict can always be avoided. That's false. It can't. Conflict is part of all relationships, and it will be present in some form, even as a simple, moderate disagreement. Oh, you're welcome. Even as a simple what? Moderate disagreement. So conflict will always be there. Okay? So you cannot avoid conflict. As long as you are having relationships with people, you cannot avoid conflict. I would like to shock you. My wife and I conflict sometimes. Oh yeah. Over some of the simplest things. Okay? So conflict is not always bad. In fact, conflict is a sign of healthy relationships. Amen? Conflict is a sign of healthy relationship. Number two. The other misconception or the lie is that conflict always damages relationships. Conflict always damages relationships. That's false. That's false. If anything, sometimes or many times, what you do about conflict can actually make the relationship better. Research shows it's not the presence or the absence of conflict that damages relationships, but what you do about it. What you do what? Brother Clinton? What you do about the conflict is what matters. Like I said, let's say for instance, yesterday we went for a visitation day. Exhausted, plenty of traffic, we're coming back home. I want to get home early and I watch football. My wife has this amazing idea to do shopping that same evening. So this is part of where understanding is good. So, we have to drop her sister. It's getting late, there's traffic everywhere, I'm exhausted. So I say I want to watch football. She says, we have to buy this. Okay, let me just say, for the purpose of the illustration. So she says, we have to buy meat for tomorrow. I'm like, I want to watch football. She says, well, then tomorrow you'll eat dinner. I said, I cannot eat dinner on Sunday. Then I left it at that. I didn't add anything. So just continued. So part of the wisdom of understanding, she's like, you know what? She didn't tell me anything. She just called our brother guy, told him what to buy, and just went home. So the key is, I was going to actually go and I pack, and they buy whatever they need to buy, but I was unhappy. So the wisdom is, what do you do? Because right there, just before that, right there, we are having a conflict. But what happens after that is the key to the health of a relationship the remainder of that evening at least. Right? Well, luckily, we just went back home and I caught what was left of the football match, which we won. Unlike some other people who walked alone. You know, they keep saying they will never walk alone. But all they have been doing for the last month is walk alone. Those who know. Uh-huh. So that's an area. And now, do you know, especially if you're married, and we'll, of course, in the next session we'll be talking about this. Every time you're staying together, every day presents an opportunity to clash. In ministry, when you're serving together, every time you are in the same space together, there are going to be opportunities that are nudging at you to conflict. What you do after the conflict is presented is the most important thing. It's not the presence of the opportunity to conflict or the conflict in itself, but what happens after. So conflict does not always destroy relationships. Does not always damage relationships. If you are courting someone and you have never conflicted, both of you are liars. You are phony. And marriage will wake you up. You wake up saying, I didn't know you put... Every day you'll be walking in shock. You go sit in counseling. I don't know what I married. Was they sit down here. Now you're going to learn the virtue of patience. Number three. The other misconception is conflict always occurs because of misunderstanding. No. Sometimes conflict happens precisely because we do understand each other. We understand each other so clearly. However, there are differences. We recognize there are differences. A major character trait of maturity is adaptability. Learning to adapt to people. Okay? Learning to recognize differences. Earlier, as a minister in the past, much earlier in my ministry leadership, one of my biggest challenges of leadership was expecting everybody to be like me. Expecting everybody to be self-motivated like me. Sometimes we have people also have this thing where they expect, like, common sense. You're telling people that you're expecting that somebody has common sense. That you're expecting that somebody knows what they're supposed to do. As you grow up as a leader, you learn to assume less, communicate more, but also be more accommodative. Yeah, that's the word. Be more accommodative to people. Like, I know my people. I know how they are. I know those who are slow. I know those who are fast. You learn that people are different. You don't start to judge this one based on this one or this one based on yourself. But you learn to communicate your expectations. Now, even what I'm telling you about, when you're in courtship, you learn to communicate your expectations. Do you know that thing you had? That the key to marriage is having no expectations. That is a joke. There is no relationship where people don't have expectations. There is no environment where people don't come with expectations. I'll talk more on expectations later. Now, conflict, the other misconception is conflict is always the sign of a poor relationship. No, it's not. What matters is how you handle the conflict, not its mere presence. I literally saw my parents go through this. when I was growing up, these guys knew a result to come back together. Sometimes if they feel like they're arguing, but they're relating. And 40 years together can show you that this is them. Right? So, it's not a sign of a poor relationship. Like I said, many times it can be a sign of a healthy one. Partly it communicates that people are not pretending. Right? People are not what? Pretending. Like, I know for a fact, even if you tell me, Apostle, everything you do is perfect. We love you. You are the mighty leader of our time. I'd look at you like this. I was like, nah, I know there are things about me you can't stand. Now, there are not very many. But I know there are some things which would feel you would do better, isn't it? Yeah, and sometimes it's not wrong to feel like that. Just one day you will be in a position where you will give me more of a benefit of a doubt. Like, oh yeah, now I get it. Okay, because somebody said, for me, if I was the pastor, every week would be doing love feast. You know, you can say, like, every week, singa tulia, singa just tell Sister Tezo, just come and kubetendo, tukutende. Like, you make the whole place alive. Right? The last one is, conflict can always be resolved. Have you heard of that phrase, agree to disagree? Oh, marriage can teach you how to lose battles so as to win the war. But some battles are not that difficult. Some battles are like with me and my son, and he's telling me, Daddy, no TV is me now. And I'm like, could I also watch a bit? He says, no, sit there. Can you imagine my son can tell me sometimes, Daddy, sit there. I say, oh yes, sir. So I concede that one for the relationship. These days, he said, telling me, you're a bad boy. Daddy, you're a bad boy. I said, I'm a bad boy. Say sorry. I say, I'm sorry. You know, because if I'm teaching him to be polite, I have to extend the same if he's expecting me to be polite and ask for forgiveness. Because that's how he's learning. Right? He was telling his guys, Daddy said, no phone on table, first eat food. You know? True story. My son has corrected me numerous times. You tell him, no devices on the table, you eat your food, and then you maybe use the phone or something. So me, maybe I'm eating with the laptop on and I'm doing something. He says, Daddy, close the laptop and eat. I'm like, oh yes, sir. I'll do that. Right? And that's how children learn, really. They see what we do. Conflict cannot always be resolved. Sometimes some conflicts will not be resolved, but they will just be managed. So conflict management is actually a better approach than conflict resolution. Okay? Some conflicts will not be resolved, but can be managed. So sometimes we seek for conflict management over conflict resolution. Okay? Three types of conflict. One, substantive conflict. S-U-B-S-T-A-N-T-I-V-E. Substantive. So substantive conflict is the one where you are disagreeing about ideas or issues in a group life. Okay, so now if we've gone back to the context of the groups, the cell groups, the life groups, is when you disagree about ideas or issues. For instance, you can disagree about Bible interpretation. Someone says that, you know, that Luke 24, I feel for me it's this. Dev is saying for me I feel it's this. And we say, you have that position, I have that position, I'm going to disagree. And I have relationships with people like that. There's a pastor friend of mine, we have gone over some issues for hours. And he said, no emoji, you know. And I told him, I want to be very clear with you. I told him, sir, I want you to know that I am not offended that you don't agree with what I'm saying. And I don't want you to fear to push back on some of the things perhaps you feel like you don't agree with what I'm saying. It's okay. You can have that in theological circles. I do fear that we have created a thing whereby there is no... We easily divide over simple things than come together over the weightier things. So it's very easy for us who don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, so you are not our friends, you are infidels, and you know, some of us, the first we do, we do communion, we do this. You guys are doing symbols. First, we don't do communion, so you're off. It's sad, but it's happening a lot. We are increasingly dividing more over. Sometimes they are called they are called secondary issues and tertiary issues over primary issues. Okay, so that's a substantive disagreement. Amen. And really, especially when you have grown a particular way, especially if you've been taught well, those issues should not break fellowship with other believers. Should not cause you to break what? Fellowship. I was leading, we were in the cell, and this lady was saying, Pastor Paul, you need to come back to us. I was like, Pastor Paul is so good, we need to bring him back, you know, because that church is where I had my foundation when I was much, much younger, high school. But these people have accepted me, and I didn't come in and I impose. But you can see they respect me, and I've never imposed anything really within the group. But you just learn to be accommodative and relational and honor the other people. Okay, especially if they name the name of Christ. You know, we are born from the same womb. We are brethren. Okay? Of course, some people are going to... Anyway, let's continue. The second level of conflict is procedural conflict. Say procedural, based on procedure. P-R-O-C-E-D-U-R-A-A-L. This is disagreement about methods... or processes. Oh, disagreement about methods or processes the group should follow to reach its goals. Or, okay, if you're thinking group, think church, also think maybe a committee, or just two people. We are disagreeing on process or method. I remember there's a time where we were at Victory City, many years ago, still at Victory City Church. I remember there's a time they switched. I don't know what they first switched. I think they switched from slow songs, from fast songs at the beginning of a service to slow songs. I think that was a switch. I think the service used to begin with what they call praise songs, right? And then you go into the worship songs, like, right now let's just welcome the presence of God. You know those ones? Yeah, those are the ones I'm talking about. And then some people were furious. You have changed God. You have. So conflict arose because of a method, procedure. Sometimes you just change a leader. Oof. Then they fight. They fight the new leader like he's the one who put himself there, you know. Like, no, for us, our leader is Papa Solomon. Why are you bringing Papa Dave? These are big pastoral changes can really, really rile up a congregation. Some of us have never been through that, but it can. Okay, and people can just be angry at the new pastor, like it's his fault. And some can even make it their aim to kick him out. So think new leader. Okay. Then you have affective conflict. Affective. This is conflict around personalities. Conflict around personalities, communication styles, and emotions of group members. You know, when people feel devalued, ignored, or attacked, conflict arises. Now, the first two types are easier to manage than the third. As much as possible, we want to avoid the third kind of conflict. Now, also, this will be like a way of training. As much as it is within your power, if you find that the reason you feel or you are conflicting with another person is because of the third reason, I want you to just try to be the one to adjust. Let's say on personalities, there are people I know, they are rough around the edges. I have a friend, okay, not a friend, I know someone, but his speech is not smooth, but he's a good man. But his speech is not smooth. He can come off as very disrespectful. He can come off as very brash, but it's a personality. You get what I mean? Now, you could either say, do you know who I am? Do you know where me and God have gone? Because someone just came and said, Paul, what's up? So he called me who? Who? Say, please, I know you did not just call me by my name. But it's a personality, it's a cultural issue, it's an environment issue, and sometimes it's just a lack of training issue. And you may find that person is not being disrespectful, but that's who they are. Okay, so it's a personality. Now, omuntu unzonyiga, and you get a conflict. Why didn't Sister Tezwa honor me? The right way that is due me. A whole married man. You can't just come, you know. Like, I know some people, they are not cultured at all. Tebaina and Pisa, okay? But it's good you first see where people are coming from before you go off to conflict and judge and create this whole ultimate description of who they are. You get what I mean? So, also, seek to not to dishonor people. Now, sometimes the people at the top sort of get away with it, right? You find a pastor abusing an instrumentalist on camera. Yeah, and it's like the pastor has a leash, some kind of a longer leash to get away with it, but the other person doesn't. So, now, the problem is people also don't know how to use when people are nice to you, when people are good to you. People don't know how not to take it for granted, and so they go on the other side. So don't, in a group meeting, make sure you don't make anyone feel devalued. Now, some of you, like I said, okay, not some of you, but some people are very insensitive, and I find usually believers are very, very insensitive. But they are insensitive. I think I spoke about this last week. They are insensitive in the sense of they don't know how to read the room. They don't know how to behave properly. Yes, someone has just had a baby. You want to visit tomorrow at their home. The whole church group wants to come. 15 people. Carrying nothing. And they sit there and expect the mother who has just had a child. Meanwhile, all of you expect the mother to bring you something. Kati waba mchala wa msumba. The level of entitlement that people have when it comes to pastors' wives is diabolical. Siku nyingi kama apostle and apostle's wife must ngayanirizana abagenyi. Yeah, she has to take care of us. People, because your pastor has made his house a home for you, you over make it a home. Shigere. As in, you over be at home. You know, even if someone says you be at home, don't over be where? It's a basic etiquette. Over mto, your flash is there, olimu kitchen, olimu gundi, otadeko TV, otusiza, abana be wako bajeko remote. Because you are in your father's house. But again, luckily for us, we don't have people who have such bad manners. But I find that many believers, what they call abalokole, they don't have these basic manners. People don't know how to talk to their pastors. Can you even that one you want, they do a class where you talk to your pastor. You just, hi. You don't even say hi. You know, you just send your pastor short form, right? RYT. LOL. FYI. It's etiquette. You can't send your boss that, right? Yeah, it's basic etiquette. So we try, don't attack people. Try not to attack people in a meeting. Don't attack people. Don't devalue people. Don't ignore people. Don't be, needless to say, don't be tribalistic in your talk or what is that? Stereotypical. Yeah, just learn how to read the room. And sometimes, like, the more I grow, I find you be very careful also with the kind of jokes you make and with who you make them. Okay? Two. It'll be good. It's wise to never make a joke on a new person. Have established a very good relationship where you know the person won't misunderstand where you're coming from. Now, let's talk about ministry conflict. Well, let me ask a question. On the three I've talked about, what kind of conflict have you had before? Which one have you ever had before? Substantive, procedural, all of them, eh? Uh-huh. And you'll tell us how you resolved or managed any of them. Or how you're managing. Some of you are actively in conflict right now. Although you pretended, what do we do? The cat in the conflict in the end. Again. So, the unique nature of ministry conflict. Ministry conflict has distinctive characteristics. Due to several factors. The first one I was telling you about earlier is because of the diverse needs and expectations. People enter ministry groups with expectations, even if it is unannounced. Sister Tezra called us in choir. It's been 5 months and I've never led in service. Right? So I entered choir with an expectation that in 1 week, right now it's been 6 months and there's nothing happening. Who does she think she is? So everybody has an expectation. You know, when you came to church today, you had an expectation. Who didn't have an expectation when they came to church today? So everybody has an expectation, right? So when people enter your life group or your cell group, they are going to come with expectations. Even if they tell you they have no expectation. Tell them, if I slap you right now, pwah! Wouldn't you be shocked? The reason you'll be shocked is because you didn't expect to be slapped in the meeting. Okay? So the essence of frustration is unmet expectation. Frustration happens because of animate. You know, you could even have been here for some time, but you are frustrated because there's something you expected you have not yet seen. Okay? Now, the problem is people often communicate their expectation only after the expectation has not been met. Yeah, like, someone is now leaving and they say, me when I came, I thought, I'm like, oh. Oh, really? Yes! Again, we'll go back to our marriage examples. Many times, people, when they enter marriage, they are shocked at those things. A man expected every day will eat hot steamed matoke. Day two, alikus pugs. Day three, the worst of all, noodles. Hey! Is there, what's the meaning of this? Is there, what's the mama ya fumbanga mirundi eja? You know, you can have such expectations that they serve tea, they put it on the table, you sit and wait. Kubanga, for you, chai bakolashi. Now you're seeing Komhendo is not pouring tea. She just put it there. And you're looking around. I didn't expect this. I told you, you get married, you expect someone is going to bathe every day. You realize they bathe on quarter. I think that water was missing. Ay! The last, was it weak? There was no water when? Unmet expectation. So when we are beginning these relationships, if you're starting a group with your friends, this is what they call the covenant making stage of a group. This is what we're about. This is what we'll do. This is what we'll try to achieve. Can we agree on this? So that when we start the group, everybody at least knows what to expect. Right? So that people are not conflicting because they feel like they've been cut short. Secondly, personal and passionate concerns. So ministry, the nature of ministry conflict, the first issue is because of the diverse needs and expectations. The second one is because of personal and passionate concern. You see, faith evokes passion. Okay? Passion. So we become passionate about things concerning ministry, right? And so because of that, we become intensely personal in ministry. Now, I'm telling you this was my biggest issue as a younger leader, younger ministry leader. I was so passionate. And I ended up also creating conflict because me, I'm coming to church, I'm praying with zeal, I look around and another person is just saying, like, are you serious? Do you know why we are here? So there is that. But secondly, there can be this, God told me. God gave me the vision of the worshippers' feast. We have to do it according to, but they say, Sister Tezra, I don't think we can handle A, B, C, D, and no. This is how Yahweh spoke to me about it. Don't tell. He showed me that Nathaniel Bassi will sing. He showed me that. So that passion. This ministry. We used to come here. We used to study Greek. We used to study Hebrew. Now we have set it. We have watered down. Apostle has lost his first love. Right? passion conflict. When we started, we used to pray 6 hours, 7 hours, 5 hours. We used to meet every day, Saturday. Now here we are. And passionate, and people passionate. What happened to us? We have lost our first love. In it. So, and that's the nature of spiritual, the nature of church ministry, the passion you can have. So when we make changes, you feel like we have left. This ministry is called to make all men see. The word is photismos. Now we are talking about singleness, marriage. Man of God, you changed. So that is the unique nature of ministry and why it presents perhaps greater avenues for conflict than may be in other cases. Okay? What if we said we are changing venue? We're going to meet in another place. Do you know that can create conflict? No! This is where I first encountered the Lord. This, you know, so. Spiritualized conflict. So instead of addressing the disagreements about external issues, people present God as being on their side, right, in these things. And the other side is evil, or unconcerned about God's kingdom, or about God's mind. And that's why many times it presents a difficulty in coming to a management position of the conflict, because people feel the Holy Spirit is backing their side. And so if the Holy Spirit is backing your side, it implies that the devil is moving the other side. So the other guys are for the devil. We are for God. Okay. Common sources of ministry conflict, number one. I think this is the last one, right? The fall. We really need to appreciate, we really need to recognize that there's such a thing as this, a fallen, broken, sinful world where people are in the process of redemption. People are broken. People are weak. People can make mistakes. This helps you in dealing with relationships. Understanding that people are not perfect. It is good you go into every relationship, even ministry. When you're working with people, don't expect people to be infallible. Don't expect people to be perfect, okay? Because of the world we are living in. Then the second one is fear. There's a fear of change, fear of losing influence, fear of negative results in ministry. So fear can also be a source of conflict. Fear of changing direction. What would it be like going into the unfamiliar? So you're like, no, I disagree. I don't think we should do ABCD. You may not look deep down and see the reason is because you're afraid. You may just mask it, but there's a fear underneath. 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casts out fear, because fear has to do with torment. But there's also the issue of unclear mission and vision. I like, for instance, we're going to do worshipers' feast, but they made it clear it's not a singing meeting. It is a teaching meeting. In fact, on the side of us saying, don't exactly say it's a teaching meeting. Part of it was my concern with how people perceive things, and how people don't know sometimes how something is good for them. Sometimes you'd rather first find them where they are and you bring them to where they're supposed to be, as opposed to presenting them where they're supposed to be. You try to come where they are and take them there. I don't mean you wallow in where they are. It's more of communicating from where they are to where they ought to be. So sometimes unclear mission and vision. Without a clear group mission or ministry vision, people develop conflicting expectations. So nobody comes here, you know, for a while we teach. Nobody asks me, Apostle, can we start a dancing group? Because I mean, the mission and the vision is clear. You're not going to find anybody here doing youth what? Dancing something. So make the vision clear. When the vision is not clear, then everybody can expect anything they want to expect. Then unclear roles and responsibilities. This is another one which presents a trap for people to get offended. You just tell people to do a thing. You don't assign clearly who is doing what, who is heading what, who is in charge of what. So then there are all these clashes. Now, one comes, I'm an apostle. The other one also comes, I'm an apostle. Now, we're thinking, but you know, do you know some pastors run churches like mafia? No, some of you don't know. And they read 48 Laws of Power and all those diabolical books. And they use divide and conquer in church, in ministry. They use a spying system. I put you in a ministry. Then I never show clearly who is the head. I keep getting information from the other one. The other one, so all of you are reporting on each other to find favor with me. I got you. I can't do that nonsense. So communicate clearly. That's what I was saying. Communicate clearly. What are your expectations? What are your, you know, communicate clearly. Without clear group mission or ministry vision, people develop conflicting expectations. And also, when procedures are undefined, people take charge in ways that create procedural or affective conflict. Then blocked communication. When people stop talking and listening, they form judgments and perceptions about others' motives instead. You know, when there's no communication, people can just assume. Now the reason he's doing that is because of this. The reason now they are doing that is because of it. So when you don't communicate, now that I know the reason they brought up that series is because of me. Sela. Amen. Then leadership style clashes. Oh, my God. Especially when you're dealing with a transition of leadership where the leaders have completely different styles. You come from authoritarian leadership of Brother Michael. You enter laissez-faire, chill leadership of Brother Solomon. The styles are different. You can say, Brother Solomon, why don't you step? You are the leader. Tell us. Punch. Brother Solomon is saying, guys, we need to come. Ali. He's like, this guy, which kind of leader is he? You know? So, leadership style clashes. Sometimes what people call a strong leader is actually an abusive leader. I'm just a strong leader. That's how I am. Boast everyone you put. Everyone is walking on their eggshells because of fear. I'm a strong leader. Nzemubufuzi wangi. Mba menya menya kwaya yonanji iwa. The man beat up his whole the congregation of ministers. He said, Temuja kunzuja mchalu. First wagged them. Abawede sabi namu je. Yeah, he said, this can be good for us. He first wagged them. I looked. I could understand why a pastor would want to beat his ministers. Caning. Apparently, they arrested the man and the congregation is on which you moved him. Tell him, leave our pastor. Like I said, tumewanyita atawafe. Like, he has beaten us, but we know him. So leadership styles. Lack of ownership. When people aren't invested or don't feel a part of creating a ministry, they withdraw. In presence, emotional investment, financial support, and overall participation. So when people lack ownership, you can create that kind of system. People don't feel like it's their thing. Okay?